children back there is planning on getting baptized. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're excited about what God's doing in her life. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We're to be doers of the word. If we just listen to God's word, but we don't do it, the Bible says we're fooling ourselves. It's like somebody looking in the mirror and they see themselves, but then they walk away and they forget what they look like. But if we'll look into the Word of God, if we'll do what it says, if we'll not forget it, but we'll become a doer of the Word, we'll be blessed in what we do. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to us about this: when truth is not enough. When truth is not enough. Would you pray that God would just speak to us from His Word tonight? Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you for the power of your Spirit and the way that you're moving. I pray that your will be done in all of us. Help us to be doers of the Word. Help us, Lord, not to just be hearers only, but to be doers of your Word. We give you the praise and the glory for it, Jesus. Have your way in us here tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for truth. I'm thankful for the saving power of the gospel. The Word of God is the standard for everything we believe and do. That's why the spirit of this world hates the Word of God. They try to do away with the Ten Commandments, with the reading of the Word of God in our institutions, because the spirit of this world wants to do what is right in its own eyes. And that's why there's so much confusion today, because society has abandoned the one standard of truth, which is the Bible, the Word of God. But here's the thing. The world may ignore it, may seek to destroy it, try to erase its principles, but regardless of how our world chooses to deal with the Word of God, the Bible still stands. It is still true. The Word of God is still the standard by which everything is measured, whether the world wants to accept that or not. Psalm 119 and 89 declares, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The standards of this world are constantly changing. What's in today will be out tomorrow. What used to be cool is now old-fashioned and obsolete. What used to be politically correct is now rejected. And what's politically correct today will change again in a few years. The church needs to stop worrying so much about being politically correct. And we need to spend our time focusing on being biblically correct. Praise the Lord. More than being politically correct, we want to make sure that we're correct according to what the Bible says, because the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Isaiah 40 and 8 proclaims, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Oh, John 1:1 declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God was there in the beginning, and the Word of God shall stand forever. Thank God for His blessed, anointed, and precious Word. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank God for His word. Come on, aren't you thankful for the Bible? Aren't you thankful for the word of truth? Aren't you thankful that God has said, I'm going to give you my word so you know how to live, you know how to walk, you know how to think right, you know how to be saved. But in all of its power, in all of its definite authority, truth in itself is not enough. The Bible today is in greater circulation at this time than it has ever been throughout all of history. There has never been as much preaching of truth before as there is in the world today. Every week, thousands of good sermons from the Word of God have been preached, presenting the truth. I know there's plenty of false doctrine out there, but there's more preaching of truth today than there ever has been before. Why then are there still dead hearts sitting on pews? Why are there barren lives even in apostolic churches? Why are altars and prayer rooms empty? Why is there so much complacency? God has not changed. His power is still the same. His word is forever settled. He still seeks to save those who are lost. The gospel today is exactly the same as it was on the day of Pentecost. So then, what is the matter? Why are there many unchanged? Why do many still struggle? Why do many still have no victory? I present to you the reason. It's because truth by itself is not enough. It's not enough just to believe. I'm preaching today, of course, and this is a play on words, okay? Don't get upset. I absolutely believe truth is what we need. Truth is the answer. Truth is the foundation we build everything upon. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. And ye shall know the truth. That word know, it relates to the word used to describe the relationship between a husband and a wife. It's more than just head knowledge. There's involvement, there's intimacy. It involves the actions that go along with knowledge. And there's a lot of people who have grown up on apostolic pews who they still find themselves bound. And there are those who know apostolic truth, but they could find themselves in hell for eternity. It wasn't that they didn't hear the truth. Oh, no, they had pastors who preached the truth and who stood for holiness and fought against carnality and were faithful to the gospel, and they know what it takes to be saved. They've heard it preached time and time again. But growing up knowing truth, young people, is not enough. Coming to church week after week and hearing truth is not enough. Being taught a Bible study in itself is not enough. In fact, teaching others a Bible study is not enough. It's not enough just to hear the gospel. It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to know the truth. If so, the devil himself would be saved. Because you'd better believe he knows the truth. You better believe he believes the truth. That's why he fights so hard against truth preaching people, because he knows the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants to keep us from reaching our world with it. James wrote in chapter 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devils believe. They know the truth. They believe the truth. They even tremble at the power of it. But that's not enough. How many lost souls in hell will have history playing over and over in their minds for all of eternity, remembering the times they heard the preaching of the Word of God, remembering how conviction gripped their heart, maybe even remembering how they trembled under the power of the Holy Ghost. They were moved. They believed. They knew the truth. But it was not enough. See, today this world is filled with people who believe in Jesus. Pop stars and Hollywood actors, they believe in God. Celebrities and politicians believe in the Lord. They wear crosses and get tattoos to prove it. And there's a fish bumper stickers and WWJD bracelets all over the place, but that doesn't mean somebody's saved. Many sinners believe in Jesus. Some of the best sermons that have ever been preached have been preached in bars and nightclubs by people who knew the truth. They believed the Word of God, and they would share it with people around them, telling them they were in the very act of sinning against God, but they'd tell everybody, "You need to get right with Jesus." But it's not enough just to believe. That doesn't get us to heaven. That does not transform our life. That doesn't save us. For truth in itself is not enough. But we must be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Truth in itself is not enough, but we must do the things that truth declares. It's not enough today to just come and hear great singing and the preaching of the word and to be moved in our emotions. It's not enough just to agree with the preacher and say, "Amen, preach it." It's not enough just to know we need God. It's not enough just to believe, but we must be doers of the word. Hallelujah. I've come to preach to this church on a Wednesday night. I don't want to be just a hearer of the word. I just don't want to hear it preached. But I want something to happen in my heart where I do what God is telling me to do, where I put my faith into action, where I say, okay, God, I believe it, but I'm going to do what you say to do. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He said, "A good tree brings forth good fruit, but an evil tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree can't produce evil fruit, and an evil tree can't produce good fruit." And then he says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." What is fruit? Something that's produced. It's by what they do. We'd better start producing fruit. Then in Matthew 7:24, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand." And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why is truth not enough? Because we must be doers of the word. There's something about when we put our faith into action and we say, okay, God, I may not even know why it is that you told me everything you told me in this book, but God, I'm going to trust in your word, and I'm going to operate according to my faith in your word. I'm going to build my life on the foundation of the word of God. I'm going to do the things it says to do. I'm not going to do the things it says to not do. I'm going to build my life on your word. And then when the storm comes, because surely the storm will come, surely there will be trials and temptations and things that rock our world. I'm telling you, there's some times that you're going to be shaken. You better make sure you're built on a sure foundation. Oh, come on, somebody today. When you've been building on the foundation of the word of God, and when the storm shows up, and when the trial comes your way, you can have comfort in knowing I've made the right foundation. I've made the right investment, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to make it through this storm. I'm going to weather this trial. I'm going to come through it because of my foundation. Hallelujah. We want our house to stand. If we desire to be wise, we've got to be a doer of the word. We have to act on our belief. We have to make that step of faith and step out on what we know is true. You see, there comes a time for action. Thank God for teaching and preaching. But it does us no good to hear the greatest sermons or Sunday school lessons in the world if we're not changed. There ought to be something in every sermon that we can all use. There ought to be some little tidbit, some little nugget that in every church service that gets a hold of us that points us closer to Jesus. Amen. Something that makes me want to be more like him. There comes a time for action. What will we do with all that we've heard? Will we continue living like the world, or will we make a commitment that I'm going to live for God and I'm going to give him my everything? Somebody here tonight, you need to hear the call of God. And you don't need to just hear the call of God, but you need to get up and you need to answer it. You need to say, okay, God, I'm tired of hearing it and not doing it. But from this day forward, I'm going to make a point to put my faith into action. Come on, enough thinking about it, enough considering it, enough battling in your mind about it. It's time to do what we know to do. It's time to respond to God's will, to God's word. It's time to repent of our sins, to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's time to be filled with the gift of his Spirit. It's not enough just to know we need this. God is calling us to action today. You see, so many times Christians are, what's the word? Non-combatants, maybe, I guess would be the right word. We're in a war, but we're not fighting. We're not doing anything. We're just watching. We're just kind of riding along, and God's calling the church. He's saying, I've got a work to do. Some of you here tonight, I believe that God's called you to do some things in the kingdom. God's called you to do some things in your neighborhood. Maybe God's called you to do some things in your school or on your job. And God's given you a word to speak to somebody. God's told you, I want you to teach a Bible study, and I want you to speak a word of faith to someone. I want you to pray for somebody with healing. And we thought, oh no, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If God's called you, he'll give you the strength to do it. And so we sit back and God's saying, I'm waiting on you to do what I've called you to do, what I've given you the ability to do. But it's easier to sit back and stay comfortable and not step out on a limb. But I feel like tonight God's just reaching for somebody and says, hey, I'm calling you to do something. I'm calling you to get involved. I'm calling you to make a difference in your world. I'm calling you to stand up and show the light of truth to somebody around you. It's something that you've got to do. God's calling us to action today. Paul wrote to the church of Rome in Romans 10 and 9. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He goes on in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved could also be the word delivered. And that's where people stop. They say, well, I've just got to confess Jesus with my mouth. I just have to believe on him in my heart. If I call on Jesus, well, I'm good to go. But then Paul goes right on in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So many times people read a passage like this and they pull out one little scripture that says, well, if I call on the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. They didn't read the rest of that. It says, not all have obeyed the gospel. What is the gospel? Romans was a letter that was written to those who were saved in the church in Rome. They were already saved according to the gospel, which we see in the book of Acts. We've got to obey the gospel. What's the gospel? I've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so here we see these that yes, when you call upon the name of the Lord, God's going to show up and he's going to make a way, but we've got to obey the gospel. There's something we've got to do. So here's a process. The preacher is sent. They preach and the people hear. They hear and the people believe. They call on the Lord, and they obey the gospel that was preached to them. How many of you remember that day that God sent you a preacher? Maybe it was a church service. Maybe it was a Bible study. But the gospel was shared with you, and you called on the name of the Lord, and he saved you, and he filled you with his Spirit. You were baptized in his name. You acted on what you had come to believe. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He told them, he said, I want to tell you what happened in my own life, what I did. Reading in Acts 9 and verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Paul had a vision of Jesus. He was riding along to Damascus, and he was going there to persecute the Christians. He thought he was doing the work of God, and all of a sudden a light shines from heaven, and he cries out and says, Lord, what's going on? Who are you? Voice came back, it's Jesus whom you persecute. He had a vision of the Lord, but it wasn't enough just to see Jesus. It wasn't enough just to hear his voice. It wasn't enough for him to just pray and talk with the Lord, but he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3 and 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If we want to enter into the kingdom of God, we've got to be born of the water, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and we've got to be born of the Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. There's some things we've got to do. How many of you have ever answer the phone not knowing who was calling. It can be a dangerous thing sometimes. If you've ever worked in the church office and you've answered a church phone, you just never know. So an hour or two before church started tonight, a phone call came through. I was praying and studying, and I thought, well, I'll just let that one go to the voicemail. You know, if it's an emergency, they'll press whatever you press to get to the pastor, and then I'll answer it. So sat there for a few minutes, and then here it comes. So I was like, well, I better answer this. Could be important. So I answered the phone, and it was somebody that was either intoxicated or something. I don't know. They were crazy. And first thing they said is, are you preaching truth? Well, I wanted to just hang up and say, you know, whatever. But then I thought, oh, I am preaching truth tonight. So I said, well, who is this? How can I help you? Well, I want to make sure you're preaching truth, brother. And it was a little slurred speech and all of that. And so I said, well, who is this? And he told me his name. And how can I help you? No, I've come to help you. And I was like, oh, okay, well, what's going on? And are you preaching truth? And do you believe truth? I want to make sure you're preaching truth. And I said, well, I said, sometimes truth is not enough. He said, what? Show me a scripture for that. And I said, well, the Bible teaches that we're to be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. I said, have you obeyed the truth? And he said, I don't, you know, and he wanted to talk about something else. I said, no. Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, my, yeah. And he wanted to talk about some other kind of whatever, theology or something like that. I kept coming back to truth, though. He didn't really want to hear the truth. He just wanted to tell me what his revelation. Finally, he said, I got a word for you. And I said, no, you don't. I got a word for you. And it went back and forth like that for a while. And then I thought, I got to get ready for church. Some people don't want to hear the truth. But some people have heard the truth. And they're not doers of truth. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. What's worse? Not ever hearing the truth, or hearing the word of God and not being a doer. We're responsible for what God has given us, and he wants us to be a doer of the word. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's more than just believing. There's some signs that are going to follow those that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. People start getting a little weird when you read that part. They shall speak with new tongues. It's not enough just to believe the truth. We've got to act on truth. On the day of Pentecost, the people were so convicted by Peter's preaching. Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? They heard the word preached to them by Peter. They believed it. They were convicted. And they wanted to know, what were they supposed to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How are we saved? There's some things we have to do. We've got to repent. We've got to be baptized. We've got to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's some things we've got to do. What is it that gives us the power that we need? What is it that transforms us from someone who believes in the saving power of Jesus Christ into someone who is saved by the power of Jesus Christ? It's when we act on our belief when we repent, when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, when we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is the answer that every one of us need. We need the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, it's what this church needs. It's what this city needs. It's what your family and my family need. It's what your neighbors and my neighbors need. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power to walk right. The power to talk right. The power to live right. The power to act right. The power to stay right. When we don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's like we're an empty shell. We're an empty shell, and there's a place in us that is empty. There's a place in us that only God can fill. And when we are without that, there is an emptiness inside of us. But I tell you this, only the Holy Ghost, only the Holy Spirit can produce that spark that we need to make our life come alive, that flame that lights our life, that power that we need from on high. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to receive that power and let it flow through us. Praise the Lord. Jesus, speaking of himself, said in Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins, that's baptism, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Just believing truth is not enough. Just hearing it preached is not enough. Growing up around it, young people, is not enough. If our mom and dad live for God, that's not enough for us. There's got to be action on our part. There's got to be action on our part. There's got to be belief and response. Amen. There's got to be truth and operation. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith is not enough. If it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. So James says, how can you show me your faith if you don't have any action to go with it? And so he declares, I'll show you my faith when I put it into action. You see, sometimes we've had preaching and we've heard it time and time again, and maybe we were raised hearing the truth and we've been around this gospel and we know there's no other way to be saved, but yet it's easy to have head knowledge without let it get into our heart and causing us to do something. God wants us to make that step of faith tonight, to put our belief into action and to do what God is telling us to do. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What is it that God's telling you to do? Would you just lift your hearts and your minds to the Lord right now and say, God, I want to do whatever it is that you've got for me to do. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word, but I want to be a doer. I want to put my faith into action. I want to live for you, God, and I want to be pleasing unto you. I want you to look at my life and be pleased with what I'm doing. Oh, God, I don't want to be caught up in inaction. I don't want to be just going along with the flow of everybody else in the world and not making a difference for you. But, God, help me to do something for you. Help me to do something for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you look at the disciples before Pentecost and then after Pentecost? It was a totally different story. Before the day of Pentecost, they were afraid. that all run away at the crucifixion? Peter, he couldn't even stand up to a little servant girl around the fire, but he denied the Lord three times. They were beat down. They were intimidated. They were scared. Now Jesus said, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. After Pentecost, Peter all of a sudden has this boldness about him. He's able to preach a hard conviction message to the same Jewish people that he'd run from before. They start preaching Jesus in the temple and in the cities. They're bold enough to stand up to the priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they were not defeated by beatings, by prison, or even death. What was the difference? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen faced an angry mob, but Acts 7 says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And as they stoned him to death, he was saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is power. It gives us power to do all that God's word has commanded us to do. If you know that God has called you to do something, and yet in your mind you think, oh, I could never do that. I could never speak to somebody about the Lord. I could never teach a Bible study. I could never, whatever it is that God's called you to do. If you have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, then you are not operating in faith. In yourself, you may not be able to do that thing. But if you can get full of the Holy Ghost, I believe that God is going to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the words, the boldness, whatever it takes to do what He's called you to do. In just a moment, we're going to come around this altar. We're going to pray tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you've never spoke with tongues, I want you to come in real close, and we're going to pray together that God would fill you with His Spirit and His power today. If you're here tonight and you know that there's a call of God upon your life, and God's calling you to be a doer of the Word, and you know that God's calling you to put your faith in action, then I want you to come here tonight and just say, God, I'm going to surrender to Your will and to Your plan. And Lord, we're just going to pray God fills you with the power to do that thing that He's called you to do. Tonight, if you're content to not just sit on a pew and just hear the word and just believe it, but you want to be a doer of the word, I wonder if you would come right now and you'd say, God, I don't want to just be a hearer. I'm not satisfied just hearing about it, but I want to be a doer. I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I want to be used by the presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, I want to be a doer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need to repent of your sins tonight. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of everything I've done that was wrong, Lord. I don't want to live that way anymore. God, I pray that You would search my heart. Lord, see if there be any evil way in me. God, I pray that You would cleanse me today. Lord, I repent before You. I turn away from sin. I pray that You would deliver me, God, that You would save me from the things of this world. Save me from myself, Lord. Get a hold of my life here tonight. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the power of Your Spirit, Lord. Young people, we can't be satisfied just hearing about God from our parents or our grandparents. We need this for ourselves. We've got to have this for ourselves. Come on, press through. We've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got to be a doer.